In March 1974, the Parish and Goals Development Committee of St. Mary's in downtown Greenville met and made a decision. There needed to be a new parish on the east side. That same month, the new community was entitled the Greer Taylors Endeavor. Mass was held in various Protestant churches, such as Grace Methodist Church in Greer, until September 1974, when the new mission was hosted more stably at Lee Road United Methodist Church, which is just down the road from us. In October 1974, 14.5 acres of land were purchased with the very generous help of St. Mary's parishioners for a new parish. In June 1975, the Greer Taylors Endeavor came to an end and was split into two new communities. On December the 12th, 1975, Bishop Unterkeffler erected the Taylors community as Prince of Peace with Christmas as our patronal feast. And we've been celebrating Christmas every day ever since, and thanks be to God for that. We began our Golden Jubilee celebrations this year on the feast of St. Joseph, when the idea percolated about opening a new Catholic community on the east side of Greenville. And because we take our Catholic faith very seriously, but we also like to party in this parish as well, we're keeping this festival going all the way to next year, when we will commemorate the canonical establishment of that new community as a parish. It's a great time to remember where we came from, celebrate where we are now, and chart the course for the future as the Pilgrim Church wends her way all the way to the new and eternal Jerusalem. I have been excited about the celebration that we're having right now for a very long time. And of course, I keep thinking, you know, what on earth can I possibly say? Because you know how I like to talk, right? There's so much that could be said, right? There's so many stories that could be told, so many sorrows and so many joys, so much laughter and so many tears, where the lives of so many people have been affected by this one spot on the map where Jesus calls us to build his kingdom. Now, I could keep you here for years, as you know, talking about it all. Right? But you know what? We have a whole jubilee to share together the memories of the past and our hopes for the future. So I did what a priest is supposed to do. So I turned to the Word of God that the Church in her wisdom appoints for today. And the gospel message that the Church has in store for us on this 23rd Sunday of the year, it really does show us the way. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought him to a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. I mean, think about it. At this point in the gospel, there were already so many people who had become followers of Jesus. They heard him preach. They listened attentively to his teaching. They saw all of these miracles that he was performing. And they responded to the signs and wonders of God with faith. And then they put their faith into action by sharing reasons for the hope that was within them. Now, you know, often in my preaching, I've talked about what it means to be broken, to be vulnerable, to need restoration. and how the church is, to use Pope Francis's eloquent phrase, a hospital for sinners. We've talked at length about how hurt people, but that healed people. And we can talk about this because we know that anyone who has ever had a life-changing encounter with Christ knows that there is hope, and hope unleashes love. As we sing on Maundy Thursday, Ubi caritas et amor, Deus ibi est, where true love and charity prevail, God is ever found. You know, people could describe our parish community in all kinds of different ways, right? But Prince of Peace isn't just a place where some people who are kind of like-minded gather. Right? It has an identity. It has an objective. It has a mission. It has a nature. And all of that is to be an oasis of hope in the solitude of life, where healed believers can bring the wounded and the needy, to give them comfort and rest and courage. You know, it's interesting, the Psalms talk about some individuals with these words: they have ears but do not hear, they have eyes but do not see. Yet, this is a place where people can hear the word of God and be transfigured, where they can see goodness in action and be spurred into ministry for the sake of the good news. I want you to think how many times in the gospel Jesus places his sacred hands upon people in that ancient sign of connection, blessing, and care. And if I had to count how many times the work of our hands has been a vehicle for the sanctifying hands of the Lord, I just can't count that high. What an amazing thing, right? How many of those that St. Paul called the children of wrath were turned into priest, prophet, and king? Children of God and heirs to heaven at the font of regeneration in the sacrament of baptism. How many teenagers and adults have had the hands of the successors to the apostles laid upon them to seal them with the gifts of the Spirit and scatter them out on mission? How many couples have come before the altars of Prince of Peace to pledge their love to each other, and that love has been claimed for Christ? How many souls in distress, covered in guilt and shame, have had hands extended over them, giving them Christ pardon and Christ peace in the sacrament of reconciliation? How many of the suffering and the dying have had the mighty hand of God sustaining them in grief and welcoming them into the lovely gardens of paradise through the sacrament of the anointing of the sick? Next year, we will have one of our own, Daniel Perry, who will have hands imposed on him and the Spirit called down upon him, making him a priest forever to serve you. Or Father Renard West, who is received into full communion with the Catholic Church when we were in the pack for Mass and was called forth from you to raise consecrated hands to bless your hands that do the Lord's work. Deacon Bob, Gus, Michael Cavan, Michael Thompson, Mark Thompson, who discovered their vocation to the diaconate here, and those deacons like Nestor, who exercised their diaconia here, ordained by the hands of God to ministry and service? And how many priests, like Monsignor Lahaki, who we're very happy to have with us today, whose hands have served the Lord with so much joy? There are so many blessings just in the sacraments, but that's not all. The hands of so many lay people, members of the faithful body of Christ. Think about how many have come to the church for help in crisis situations. To St. Vincent de Paul, Pro-Life Ministries, the soup kitchen downtown. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I know that I will. That is a great problem to have, right? How many people whose hands have been held as they buried their loved ones from this church? Or the hands that reached out to welcome newcomers and give hope to those who weren't quite sure when they walked through those doors that they were even going to get through the end of the day. You all did that, right? You all do that day in and day out because your faith has become alive in Christ and overflows in abundance with joy and with action, making the kingdom of God not just some kind of concept, not just some kind of theory, not just some kind of idea, but a living reality. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. In the ordinary form of baptism, the minister touches the ears and the mouth of the newly baptized child and says, "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father." In the extraordinary form of baptism, before the actual baptism proper, the priest puts spittle onto his thumb and touches the ears and nostrils of the child and says, "Ephphatha," that is to say, "be opened and perceive the fragrance of God's loving ways. But you, evil spirit, be gone, for the judgment of God has come." We're very blessed in our parish to celebrate both forms of the Roman Rite, and this one small ceremony of the rite of baptism, I think, tells us so much about who we are as a Christian people and what we can do in this place. The judgment of God has come. The Prince of Peace reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this place where the Most Holy Sacrament of the altar is celebrated. And we can say with confidence that he also reigns on the only throne he's ever wanted from all eternity. And you know what that throne is, don't you? The throne of our hearts. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and will never be destroyed. His justice and his mercy. We are called to witness to those attributes of his holiness by working for justice and testifying to his mercy. Now, you know just as well as I do, perhaps even better than I do, that there is a lot of evil in this old world. But we have nothing to fear, because we are the light in the darkness, showing that love has conquered even death itself. We receive his word and proclaim his faith. We praise him. We glorify him. That is what we do in this place. And when we do that, we can perceive the fragrance of God's loving ways. We can see the wonders he works for those of us who love him. And finally, be opened. You know, Prince of Peace is not some kind of fortress of solitude in a citadel of self-righteous certitude, right? A closed community that clings to mere human tradition to do what we've always done and cast judgment upon others from that small and restricted place. That is not who we are as a church. That's not who we are as a Catholic church. That is not who we are as Prince of Peace. If that's the kind of church that you want, then you're in the wrong place. Why? Because just as Jesus allows his heart to be pierced with a lance, we allow ourselves to be broken open by his word. Just as from the open heart of the Redeemer flowed the water of baptism and the blood of the Eucharist, we have open hearts and open hands to wash the feet of the sinner in service and nourish the saint in holiness. We hand on what we have received, and we bring out of the storehouse of the church treasures both old and new. We celebrate that old-time religion while singing a church into being that is both ever ancient and ever new. As we continue our celebration of 50 years, as we connect with God and reconnect with each other and disconnect from the world, as we commemorate the past and look forward to the future, I have one mission that I want to give us all as a parish for the next 50 years. Be opened.